Jesus tells in the parable of the sower how the seed of the word is assaulted by birds and weeds and sun.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World.
This is the assault on our faith which the Lord wants to fight against and prevent. Some seed, that is, enduring faith, endures to the end, and the Lord teaches us how to have it in His Word.
Learn more about A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World at issuesetc.org. It is one of those things that people dread. I wonder what they dread more, cancer or dementia. Everyone knows that if they live long enough, it's going to happen in one form or another. It may not be full-blown dementia, or it may be. They fear for themselves, for their family members. Children fear for their parents. So it's a fact of life. It is something that, at least according to the numbers, we will face more and more and more as the population ages. There's a Washington Post story about how churches and synagogues are trying to meet the religious needs of people with dementia. There's some cute ideas in there, but what about simply doing for these people, either where they are or in the church, what the church does for everyone, people who still do have intact memories? Joining us to talk about the Washington Post story about meeting the religious needs of people with dementia, Dr. Tyler Arnold. He's pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Platte Woods, Missouri. He's Collegium Fellow for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counseling. He's author of a paper titled Slowly Dying Inside, Pastoral Care for Those with Dementia and Alzheimer's. Dr. Arnold, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
What do the numbers tell us about the problem of dementia and Alzheimer's and how it will look in the near future?
Mostly that it's a growing problem. Today we have about 15% of the population that's above 65. In about 20 or 30 years, that's going to jump up to about 25%. And there's still really no clear indication that we're going to know how to solve the dementia Alzheimer's problem. We've been able to stave off the effects of Alzheimer's, but we have not been able to, of course, solve it, to cure it, and so that'll continue to be an issue. There's about 40 million people worldwide right now that have been affected by dementia and Alzheimer's, and there are about probably, well, I think it's about 40 million at least worldwide, but then about 150 million will be by the middle of this century. And there's a man by the name of Samuel Cohen. He's a research fellow at the University of Cambridge, and he indicates that if you're over the age of 85, your chances of having some form of dementia or Alzheimer's is about 1 in 2. So we can tell that it's really something that's going to continue to be a problem into the future. And of course, as our congregations get older and our society is getting older along with it, pastors and caregivers are going to continue to see challenges that are directly associated with dementia and Alzheimer's.
Why does the Christian congregation need to remain actively engaged with those who are suffering from dementia and Alzheimer's and their families?
Mostly because one of the effects of Alzheimer's is the loss of story, the loss of a personal narrative, the loss of personhood in particular. In our world today, many have defined personhood by brain function. And if you are defined that way, you're defined economically. You have value if you can produce. And unfortunately, sometimes that ideology, it's also pervasive in the church. And the church needs to stave that off. They need to be actively involved in the person's life, because as the disease progresses, they're going to know less and less about their story. They're going to remember less and less. They're also going to remember less and less about the congregation that they're a part of. And so the congregation having an active role to be present and encouraging with people who have Alzheimer's is really of absolute necessity in order to continue to keep them engaged in the greater story of the Christian church, specifically the greater story of Christ their Lord. This is extremely important because narratives tend to go away and eventually they're all lost when it comes to the people that have dimensional Alzheimer's. So in order to keep this community personhood alive and also the engagement with the way that Christ has engaged them in his meta-narrative, we know that keeping people actively involved in church activities through people who are involved in it with them will not only help the community of the church get involved and engaged more in helping others, but also help the person who's suffering.
The Washington Post story that we have referenced here, congregations attempt to meet the religious needs of people with dementia. It describes some attempts of religious communities to include those who suffer from Alzheimer's or dementia. What do you make of those attempts described?
The attempts that are described in that particular article is meant to be helpful, of course. Helping people to feel religious is one of the ways that that article describes it. However, religion is, of course, much deeper than just mere emotion. And there's an attempt to connect with the people that do have dementia and Alzheimer's in a different way than just through hearing of the word. Now, this is very important because there's many different ways that we can connect the gospel story with people that have cognitive disabilities, especially progressive ones such as this disease that we're talking about today. And one of those ways is either through smell, it might be tactile. Music is extremely important. What is most helpful, though, is familiar tunes or touching things that are most familiar to the person. And so while it is a good way to try to reach out and do different things with people with dementia and Alzheimer's as a group, my suggestion would be to communicate to pastors and church leaders how individual care, specifically pastoral care, is much needed for people with dementia and Alzheimer's, because it's going to be more of a one-on-one community type of engagement. Pastors need to be very actively involved in the ritual aspects that are very familiar to the person who has dementia and Alzheimer's, and continue to facilitate those things. And there are ways to do that. There are ways to make those breakthroughs and connections. And the one-on-one in those situations are oftentimes going to be a little bit more productive.
Then let's talk a little bit about the basics of this, the stages of dementia and Alzheimer's in a broad way. What does it look like?
Well, really, experts tell us that there are three stages of dementia. And the first one runs anywhere between 2 to 4 years. We kind of sometimes call that the forgetful behavior type of stage. People forget the plots maybe in books or TV shows. They can't quite track them or follow them. There may be the beginnings of the lack of self-care. They also may deny the fact that they're losing their memory or forgetting things more often. The second stage is where we see the most change. We see that stage lasting longer than the other two stages, which will last about 2 to 10 years. They begin to forget that family is visiting them, and they'll oftentimes get angry if family isn't visiting them, which usually isn't the truth because they just don't remember. We call this sometimes the confusion stage. They get very flustered. They may even get lost in their own homes. They forget what they are doing. They get sidetracked easily. Speech begins to suffer in this stage, and they're more withdrawn. They find themselves separating from friends and family more, and friends and family oftentimes stop visiting at these times as well, because they don't know how to engage a person that has dementia or Alzheimer's. They don't know what questions to ask, because usually those questions are relying on memories that they have created together. And so families and friends sometimes stop visiting quite often, and isolation sets in. The third stage is the terminal stage, and that lasts usually between 1 to 3 years. They don't recognize themselves anymore. They don't communicate very well. they start to lose bowel functions, and usually this is the stage where constant care is needed. A lot of times people are institutionalized in during these stages. They need care that is on much more of a significant level than even sometimes a spouse or a son or a daughter of one who's suffering with dementia can handle.
We are talking with Dr. Tyler Arnold about a Washington Post story about meeting the religious needs of people with dementia. We'll hear his story. He has a family member with dementia after this.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday, September the 19th, we're talking about a Washington Post story about meeting the religious needs of people with dementia. Dr. Tyler Arnold is our guest, Collegium Fellow for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Dr. Arnold, you have a family member with dementia. Tell us about that.
My mother is sort of at that confusion stage right now. We've seen her slip into it a little bit more gradually than I have in my ministry seen others. She still knows her children's names quite well, but her grandchildren, it's quite confusing for her to remember all of her grandchildren, so she can't really come up with their names all that well. She often forgets about things that are happening daily, and that's very much about dementia and Alzheimer's, too. Sometimes the deep embedded memories are in there somewhere, and they're a little bit more quickly recalled at the earlier stages, and more recent memories they struggle with, and that's my mom as well. But patience is one of the things that we need to show in those situations especially, because like my mom, sometimes get very frustrated. They can't get the words out. They confuse a lot of the things that have happened during the day. And so patience and affirmation tend to be what's needed most in those situations.
So how should we understand dementia and Alzheimer's from a biblical view of man? There are all different ways that people attempt to understand, cope with this or understand it, but how would the Bible instruct us on that?
Well, the Bible instructs us very clearly that we are kept and loved by God. Even though we at times will feel that with Alzheimer's and the loss of memory, that we're losing something. We're losing a lot. We lose our story. We lose ourself in the greater narrative of the community, our families. Even we worry about losing our narrative in the story of Christ. We go from independence to dependence. So dementia is really all about losing something, memories, narrative, self, and the loss of friends is common. So it's really a terrible, terrible disease. Not only is it terminal, but you really feel like the person is lost. And the scriptures talk about us in such a different way. It talks about it how we are kept. We are never forgotten by our Lord and Savior. And we are who we are by virtue of what Christ has made us to be in our baptisms. And so he has claimed us as his own. We are a part of that narrative, no matter if we remember it or not. And this is the kind of encouragement that we must have for those who suffer with dementia or Alzheimer's. We need to continue to encourage them and to remind them, especially in the early stages, that they are kept, they are part of a greater narrative, that they are a person that is loved by Christ, and that even though they may forget, their faith is secured in the one who has granted it for them, and that is Jesus in his blood, who has washed them clean by the waters of holy baptism and claimed them their own. And that is something that we rest assured of. And we listened to Luther on this, especially in his explanation of the third article. I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. And this gives us comfort that our Lord enacts this from outside of us, despite us, and he comes to us with his love and grace and purifies us. So the whole aspect of personhood, of Christ's love for us, being kept in the holy ark of salvation through the forgiveness of sins that Christ provides, it cannot touch our soul. That's one thing that dementia and Alzheimer's cannot do. It may make our memories fade, but our life is rest secure in Christ our Savior.
What is your best pastoral advice, having gone through this yourself as well, to the spouse or a family member of someone who's in the early stages of dementia or Alzheimer's?
We must remain patient. And a lot of the stories that we're going to hear from people who have dementia is maybe not even true. They may enter into some kind of delusion. They're going to tell you a story that didn't happen. And one of the very frustrating things that I see that family members do is that they oftentimes will argue or contradict, well, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Stop saying that. And this is really not helpful. What it ends up doing for people that have dementia or Alzheimer's is it makes them more and more frustrated. It's not wrong to enter into a delusion and then deflect it. So affirm it, but yet at the same time, maybe try to change the subject. This is really important for pastoral caregivers too, because then it gives the pastor the opportunity to get back on track to the things that are more important, and also to calm the person who might be in distress about a story that may or may not be true, continuing to keep them focused on the things that matter most. Because a lot of times sufferers will worry about a significant happening in their past that they may be in a loop in their mind and they can't quite get rid of it, or something that they can't remember. And this is very upsetting. Say it's okay, and then try to change the subject into something that's a little bit more relevant or that's meaningful for that particular time. The worst thing that we can do is to argue and to tell them that what they're experiencing is wrong or what they remember is wrong, and rather affirm it. Make sure to tell them that they are safe and that you're there for them. This is very important when ministering to people with Alzheimer's.
Why is ritual so important in the church's engagement with those who suffer from dementia and Alzheimer's?
It's interesting because oftentimes music and symbols, the things that are associated with ritual, engage in the non-dominant hemisphere of the brain. It's a little bit of a different part of the brain than the one that controls our speech. People with dementia and Alzheimer's have the information in their brain. They are just having difficulty to communicate it. And if we can engage another part of their brain, usually music or symbols, connections are made, breakthroughs are achieved in a little bit of a different fashion. So my suggestion always to pastors and even to family caregivers or other caregivers is to use music, especially music. Maybe even get an old used iPod. If congregations could even collect iPods and put familiar hymns that a person with dementia and Alzheimer's may know, then you can also get earphones, earbuds, or maybe some kind of headsets. Get the rest of the distractions away by putting on the headphones and then listening to the music. These things, music, things that are tactile, I had a crucifix that I always brought to one of my shut-ins that had dementia. And I would run her finger on the cross, and she could feel the corpus of Christ. And every time I did that, her eyes brightened. And you could tell there was a connection being made there. What she could feel was even more of a breakthrough for her than what she was able to hear. Now, we continue to speak the word of God to people with dementia and Alzheimer's, and that's very important. That's a part of the ritual. But smells, maybe like candles, the liturgy, engaging a different part of the brain than the other that dictates speech. So these kinds of things are deeply embedded memories that are more easily recalled than more recent events because they become such a part of the person over time. It's amazing how they can speak the Lord's Prayer or the Creed, and yet they can't even tell you what they did that day. It does happen. And so we have to keep these rituals in a very constant and familiar fashion. Simplicity is key here with dementia and Alzheimer's patients, and continue to do them repetitively. And it will keep them engaged, and they will continue to relive that, rehash that, and the liturgy is just so foundational for that expression of faith.
The tendency may be on the part of those who are caring for loved ones or even a pastor caring for someone with Alzheimer's dementia is to try and help them to remember forgotten things. And that's a pretty careful line we need to walk. How would you proceed there?
I think we have to be very careful trying to retrieve memories in the past. We can ask those kinds of questions, but oftentimes confusion will set in and then frustration as well. It may be best to sort of stay away from those things. Talk about the present. It's okay whenever you come into the room of a person with dementia and Alzheimer's to reintroduce yourself. Tell them who they are. Your sister or brother is so-and-so. You're the son or the daughter of so-and-so. Your sons and daughters are this, this, and this. So these are important things to do. Just remind them. Don't be afraid to do that, because that might actually relieve some stress rather than create it. One of the things that oftentimes creates stress for people with dementia and Alzheimer's is when we come into a room and we say, hey, remember me. Probably don't do that. That's not a good tactic to have. Just go ahead and come in, introduce yourself. Don't ask them a bunch of questions that would rely on memory, and continue to just chat. Tell them about yourself. Tell them about themselves. That is a very important thing. Remind them about the church community that they are a part of. Tell them how they are loved by Jesus. All of these things are great reminders for them, and it really does put a person with dementia and Alzheimer's or Alzheimer's at ease, much more than it would if you were to come in and start grilling them about questions that they will not be able to recall memories about.
We're talking about pastoral care for those with dementia and Alzheimer's. Dr. Tyler Arnold is our guest. We'll discuss how to responsibly administer the Lord's Supper to people with dementia next.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. First Bethlehem Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa. Peace Lutheran, Filer, Idaho. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. St. Peter's Lutheran, Arlington, Wisconsin. And Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. I know that one of our listeners' favorite guests is Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. There's a reason for that. He is an extraordinary teacher. He can teach God's word like few others can, and that means a lot. I hear a lot of Bible teachers, and in my opinion, he is hands down one of the best. He also writes well and teaches well, not only on the radio and here on Issues, etc., but in his books. His latest is called A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World. It's not only about the martyr's faith, it's about your faith as well and the challenges and enemies that your faith and God's word have in this world and Christ's victory over them. Find out more about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World by Pastor Brian Wolfmiller at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for A Martyr's Faith, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World. Dr. Arnold, you have looked into how to responsibly administer the Lord's Supper to Christians with dementia. What have you found?
Well, one of the things I think we have to remember is that, well, not all opportunities to share the Lord's Supper with a person with dementia is created equal. There are different circumstances, of course, different stages that a person is in. We have to remember, though, that memory and faith are not the same thing. We want to be very faithful to the scriptures. We know what 1 Corinthians 11 says, you know, let a person examine themselves. So we take those words to heart. We're the stewards of God's mysteries, so we want to make sure that we're administering the sacrament with all faithfulness for the sake of those that are receiving the sacrament as well. So we're very cognizant of that, but not all mental impairments are created equal. Some preclude all discernment, while others just merely handicap it. So we as pastors need to be discerning ourselves. Alzheimer's patients are often in possession of their mental faculties. They're just not sure or incapable of how to communicate what it is that they believe. So this is an important distinction. So what we're looking for in people with dementia or Alzheimer's is, are they hearing what we're saying when we're asking the words of confession and absolution, or that we're using those parts of the liturgy? Are they responding? Are they reacting in any kind of way? They may not be able to speak their reaction, but maybe they're lifting their head. Maybe they're squeezing your hand. Maybe they're grunting. These are indications of discernment. And there may be these nonverbal cues that we do need to recognize. And I'm a little bit more apt to go ahead and share communion with those that may not be able to verbally say the confession of their sins during the time of liturgy, especially if those are the people that have been faithfully receiving the Lord's Supper that I have been administering for many years prior, knowing their faith. Their faith has not left them when their memories fade. And because faith comes from outside of us by God's grace, we also rest assured that the Lord has not forgotten them in these moments. So there's a lot of factors, a lot of pastoral considerations that we need to keep in mind when we're ministering Holy Communion to those with progressive cognitive depletions.
What are the basics of pastoral care for those who suffer from dementia and Alzheimer's?
I think it has much to do with patience. I also think in the very early stages of dementia and Alzheimer's, if those are recognizable by the pastor, he needs to talk to the family. The family needs to have a conversation with the pastor with regard to the things that are most important. The pastor can even create a folder or even a box of memories, maybe old photos, old letters. These things will spark memories that are what we thought to be long gone, or make connections or breakthroughs with people that have even advanced stages of Alzheimer's. Pastors can use these things that are even around the church that may be the most familiar to them, things that are the most meaningful to them, and continue to use these things. Bring them back, show them these things, pieces of religious art, maybe pictures of the family or the church family. These are establishing connections constantly with people that have dementia and Alzheimer's. Validate their feelings because they're very significant to them. Like I said, if they're in a delusion that is not true, try to deflect it and go on to more important things in terms of the visit. Don't argue with them. Patience is very much an important part of this. But most importantly than anything, pastors and caregivers need to visit regularly with patients. They need to be present, because a lot of the times it's not going to be progressing and doing that is going to be about the visit, but rather just being present and talking with them. Touch them. Like I said, tactile things are often very meaningful to people with dementia and Alzheimer's. If they're not looking at you, just push their eyes up a little bit, their head or their shoulders, so that you can make eye contact with them. Treat them like a person, because oftentimes this world will not treat people that have dementia and Alzheimer's as people anymore. They tend to ignore them. They don't know what to say. They shy away from them. So treating them like a person is important as well.
A couple of the things that I've noted in the course of pastoral ministry, and that is, act like they're in the room when you're when you're talking to them. It's often you will have other family members there, and it takes a lot of discipline to do this. But for those who do not talk about them while they're sitting there in the room, and it's hard not to do that, especially when family members are doing it too, but to act like they're still there in the room.
Absolutely. You engage them just as they're a person that we're talking with, not talking about. This is very important. Verna, one of the ladies that I minister to quite often, she is in the very advanced stages of Alzheimer's. And when her husband and I speak, we oftentimes talk to one another, but we also talk to Verna. And we talk to Verna about things that her husband might have done that day or may have done in the past. We remind her of her children's names, just like we mentioned before. So talking past a person oftentimes reduces that feeling of personhood or value, and it needs to be done. It really does. That person is a person that's in the room. We may not know exactly what to say, and these conversations may not be long with them, but engage them, include them. It'll bring a smile to their face. They may even laugh about it a little bit, because obviously the emotions are high with people that have dementia and Alzheimer's. Anger to great gladness comes and goes at quite a clip with people. So keeping them actively involved will also keep them engaged. So it's very important to promote the personhood of a person that has these debilitating, deadly disease like this that continues to progress into death, and to treat them like a person that they are.
You had mentioned something early on that I have discovered in the course of pastoral ministry to be a real perpetual problem with those who suffer from dementia. That is, they forget you came to see them, either as the pastor or their kids. I have walked into nursing home rooms and been told with absolute certainty by the person that their family hasn't been to see them in years, when I know full well that the family sees them on a weekly, if not better, basis. They're not lying. They just don't remember. What kind of practical ways can we deal with that rather than arguing to remind that person, your daughter was just here yesterday?
Right. Yeah, you know, and this again is working together, pastor and family. This is very important. And the pastor needs to be in communication with the family to tell the family that, hey, I was just there to see mom. I just wanted to let you know. If she denies it, I'm just telling you that I was there. We actually had communion together. And so to keep them aware of what you're doing, it's going to be very important to the family. But also you may want to find a way to keep some kind of log, maybe even in their room, especially if they are institutionalized like my mother is. Maybe keep a little bit of a log of who is going, coming, and going. Communication is of the utmost importance with clergy and family when it comes to this. And if the family would even just indicate when they're there, maybe even write it down, it could be shown to the person, but I would still even hesitate to argue with the person about whether or not their son or daughter is not there. That's usually a futile argument because they will completely deny it, and it'll just make them more and more upset. If you have a way that will not upset them, and if showing them maybe some kind of log or something like that would be helpful, that may be one of the ways. But again, people that have dementia and Alzheimer's, they tend to take things in different ways. And they may not remember, but they may not care, some of them. And others may not remember, and they'll get extremely angry. So really, it's a case-by-case thing. Those may be some practical ways to deal with the forgetfulness that comes with family not visiting or the clergy not being there, that may help the family and the clergy to know and the sufferer to know that somebody actually is there and taking care of them.
Do you think it's advisable, Pastor Arnold, if possible within the limits of the person's care, to occasionally take them to church on Sunday morning? That will, for many of them, actually be, just in terms of the place, a very familiar and treasured memory for them.
Absolutely. And this should be done as long as possible, as long as it's a family or caregivers are able to bring them. It's always very important to be in the midst of the familiar liturgy that the patient or the sufferer is used to. The familiar sounds and smells will oftentimes spark memories deep embedded into the cortex of the sufferer, and this will produce a lot of meaning for this individual. So I think it's very important, as long as it's possible, to continue to bring sufferers into the divine service. Unfortunately, in advanced stages, it becomes more and more difficult, and that's where individual, extraordinary means of pastoral care are going to be needed quite regularly.
Finally, how can the congregation as a whole be involved in the continuing care for those who suffer from dementia and Alzheimer's?
They can be actively involved, for the first thing, in prayer. Prayer not only for the sufferer, but also for the caregivers. This is very important. Also in visitation, call them. Don't be afraid to go and visit. I know that there are going to be times that are maybe awkward silence. It really does take a little bit of practice and patience to continue to hold a conversation with somebody that's especially getting into the latter stages of dementia and Alzheimer's. But go, and it's a lot more about presence at that particular point. But it continues to keep them involved in the community of the church. It helps them to regain a narrative, remind them of what their narrative is. It helps them to understand that they are still defined as a person who is loved and kept by that community, and especially by the one who is their Lord and Savior. Though memories fade, faith continues to persevere through it, and they are a kept member of the community and also in the narrative of Christ. So all of these things are important for everyone in the family, in the community, in the church community, to continue to be a part of, for the sake of our church member, of our family, whoever it may be. We have to be actively engaged, and it does take effort, but it will be very meaningful for those who suffer.
Pastor Tyler Arnold is pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Platte Woods, Missouri, Collegium Fellow for Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, and author of a paper titled Slowly Dying Inside, Pastoral Care for Those with Dementia and Alzheimer's. You can read it and find out more about doxology under the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tyler, thank you.
Thank you.
Terry Mattingly is with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about two stories regarding media coverage of mainline Protestant education. At Union Seminary, they are confessing to plants, and at Duke University, they are banning an organization called Young Life. Stay tuned. Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, is the author of our Book of the Month for September, A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World at issuesetc.org. Deepen your understanding of Lutheran theology with the new book, A Martyr's Faith in a Faithless World, by Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During September, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Grace Place Wellness Ministries. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Serving the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Community, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
You're invited to Oktoberfest featuring the Waterloo German Band Friday night, October 18th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. Oktoberfest features a traditional German buffet dinner, silent and oral auctions, and of course, beer. Tickets are $15. Attendance is limited to 200. Proceeds benefit St. Paul Lutheran School, the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. Learn more and purchase tickets at school.stpaulhamel.org. Oktoberfest is sponsored in part by Seavers Equipment, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Ernst Heating and Cooling, Lutheran Public Radio, St. Paul's Ladies Aid, Chick-fil-A, and Baker Construction. Oktoberfest, Friday night, October 18th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. School.stpaulhamel.org.